I'm not pulling out of my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the Drive to Work Coronavirus Edition. Okay, guys, so while there's a lot of downside to having a pandemic, there's some upsides, one of which is we're going to do replies with Rachel number 5. So say hi, Rachel.
Hello.
So Rachel, my eldest daughter, has been off in college, but she's back home for a little while. And we realized we had an opportunity to do another replies with Rachel. So the way this works is I asked on my Twitter and people sent us questions. Rachel is going to pick out questions and then she and I are going to answer them. That's how replies with Rachel works.
Okay. So the first question is from Michael Riley. And he asks, how was college? Did you do anything you can't tell your dad about? I feel like there's always this thing with college where I'm like, dangerous things and dangerous times. College is pretty decent. I feel like anything I do safely. college has been decent. I'm halfway through college. You know?
I know, you're halfway through.
I'm halfway through college, which is kind of weird when I think about it. But overall, it's been pretty decent, doing well at classes. One of my roommates this year is finally my friend, someone I know. So that's very exciting. So college has been good. Hopefully will be good. We're going to see about that.
Okay, next question.
All right, from Shartate101. To both of you, which board game do you do best at when you play with your family?
Okay, so what board game? So one of the things to make people aware is mm-hmm. Friday nights is Rosewater Game Night.
Yes.
So and one of the things we've been doing during the pandemic is every Friday we've been doing a theme day.
Yes.
And so we've been doing this all summer long. Uh-huh. And then different member of the family picks a theme. And then we'll decorate in the theme. And we'll make dinner based on the theme. And we'll pick a movie based on the theme. And then we'll play games based on the theme.
Unless the theme's too abstract. And then we just do whatever we want.
Well, I mean, but we try to pick themes. Mostly we pick themes.
We do. There's some that it's a little harder to do. I don't know. What was our hard day that like, we couldn't find any games for?
What was it? Mommy had picked Caribbean Day.
Oh, yeah.
While there are a lot of Caribbean, like we found a Caribbean movie and a Caribbean food.
Yeah.
The Caribbean game was trickier.
Just beach games? I don't know. We couldn't find anything.
A little harder. But
yeah.
But it's been fun. It's been fun trying to, you know, work on the theme. So as far as games, we tend to play party games mostly.
But it says, what do you do best at? Like, what games do you crush at?
The game... So, we recently played a game of Boggle, where at the end it was my entire family versus me, and it wasn't remotely close.
Really trying to flex on us here. I do not appreciate this. What board games do you do best at? I like funny answer ones, and my favorite answer is when we did Loaded Answers, like, a week ago.
Yeah.
And it's where you, like, ask questions, and then everyone writes down an answer, and someone has to give... the judge, the person who asked the question, all the answers, and they have to match answers to people.
Yeah.
And my funniest answer was the question was you, and it said, if you were a wedding planner, what would your signature touch be? As in, like, you as a wedding planner?
Yeah.
And everyone else was like, oh, like, comic books and games. And I was like, no, he burned himself on the candles, because he burns himself all the time.
Well, they don't know this.
But
they don't
in
know
the household, yeah, no, he's cursed. Like, it's the house or it's him, but he's cursed and he will burn himself on every stovetop or candle in our household.
There's a new factoid about me you did not know is I burn easily, apparently. I'm constantly burning myself.
Yeah.
So.
Not burn easily as in like the sun, just like we'll always touch hot things.
Or they splash on me.
Or they splash on you, yeah. So that was my signature touch, was that you would just burn yourself somehow at the wedding.
Rachel is good at the games where you're predicting how other people will do.
What was my other good answer? I feel like I had another good answer.
I don't remember.
Round. What was it? Did we keep the papers? Because I feel like...
Somewhere.
My memory would be refreshed. I forget. Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of different stuff. But
okay,
anyway.
Okay, so next question.
Next one. From Clarkness... it says, what's it been like having Mauro work from home for the last few months? Does he ever have any of you help playtest? Does he have a home office he stays in? Or does design work just bleed across the house? You can answer personally how you think working from home is.
Well, first, why don't you answer, then I'll answer.
Why do I answer? Well, you just stay. I mean, we have like a, we call it the den, just like a little computer room filled with books. And you just like stay in here for majority of the time. I mean, it's not like things are, like, all across the tables or whatever. Like, mom, when she's doing stuff, like, her stuff's across the table. But, like, you have, like, here, like, your room, your section.
We're recording in that room. That's what we're
yes,
recording.
Yes, this is the room we're recording in. I mean, you haven't made me help you, like, play test or whatever. Have I ever play tested with you, like, once?
I don't think you've ever play tested with me.
I don't know. I
don't do it. I mean, my family hasn't been play testing. I've been doing my play testing with coworkers.
I mean,
with
I play
coworkers.
Games with you. I just don't think I play tested. And then you do have a home office. This is, like, your home office, I guess.
Yeah, well, we turned our den.
It's our mini library, game room, computer room, all in one.
It's where my computer is, so that's where. And
yes.
Basically, all my work now is on my computer because I'm you know, doing meetings with people and typing
so
cards.
How's
and stuff.
It been for you working from home? How are you feeling about this?
Well, I mean, it's been awkward for my podcast, but other than that, I've enjoyed. One thing I have liked about being home is I get more time with you guys. So normally it takes me half an hour to drive to work and half an hour to drive home, and I guess I am recording my podcast, but still, I'm not. I get home much faster. Like when I walk out, every like 6 o'clock rolls around, I'm done with my last meeting, I'll walk out of the den, and then I always say, I'm home.
Ask how your day was. You're just like, meetings, and I'm like, okay, like,
well, that's what I do. I talk with people.
I guess.
And then I make cards on my own, so.
Okay. Next question's from Barakus Cius. I don't know. It says, what were the biggest lessons you have learned from each other, and how do you use those lessons in your work or education and in other areas of real life? Lessons we've learned from each other. I don't know.
Okay, well, I have an answer, so you can think while I give my answer.
Fine. Compliment me in the meantime.
So I think one of the biggest lessons I had, and this is just having kids in general, but you being my first child, one of the things that's really interesting about raising children, which is actually very similar to the creative process, is your children are going to be who they're going to be. I mean, you have some influence on them, but they're going to be who they're going to be, and that part of being a parent is letting the child be what the child wants to be, not making them be something, but recognizing them for what they are and then letting them be the best that they can be. And making a magic set is a lot like that, meaning I'm going to make a set, but I don't want – the set's going to become what it's going to become. I'm just trying to figure out what it wants to be and help it get there.
I don't think I'm the right child for this. I'm just the female version of you. I don't think this is the lesson to be like, let your children grow and expand. I'm like, oh, a child who enjoys board games and musicals and writing. This is the child I let differ from me. Like, that's adversary, I guess.
We have overlaps. But
a lot of overlap.
Okay, we have some overlaps, but I let
some
you be you.
Overlaps. Yes,
I let you be you. You're not, you know.
What are our differences? I'm something that you just don't understand about me. What's like an area?
Well, I mean, we're
a
different generation. You know, what I'm saying?
Slang. What you keep well, you always say things like
no, but
know.
I mean, you interact. For example, one of the things I've learned is how you guys interact with social media and how I interact with it. It's a different animal. I mean, I do interact with it, but it is.
Yeah,
you've grown up with it, where to me it's not what was not part of my formative years, and I'm learning about it, but it's not.
No, but you're decent about it. Like, I met people who definitely, like, I'm fine if you don't want to be part of social media or whatever, but this whole thing of, like, you know, phone bad, book good, and I am better because I don't like technology. I'm like, you're not, like, one of those, like, people, you know? Like, you at least trying to learn and adapt yourself, and that's better than someone who's like, my generation was better, you know, this and that, like. You're learning and you're growing. Okay, so there's a question that kind of connects to this,
okay,
like with lessons and stuff.
Okay.
Although I didn't answer. What did I learn from you? What have I learned from you? I don't know. I feel like a lot about like creativity, and mostly just about like putting all your ideas you can out there, and then collecting a few. Like that's always my thing. Whenever I'm like directing or writing, it's just like let's you know. Get everything we can, and then we can always go back from there. It is much better to have things to whittle down than to try and like grow from. Because I feel I feel like that's what I'm learning the most from you. Restrictions breed creativity. Because I don't know where you got that from, but you're just like acquainted with it. But oh well. So from Raf Key, I don't know how to pronounce his name. So I feel like a really bad substitute teacher. So wishing me well for college, and then again with lessons, it says, what is the biggest life lesson each of you have learned while in or during college thus far? So the lesson that I've learned in college and the lesson you've learned from me being in college.
This should be easier for you because that's happening right now.
What's the lesson
I got to think back
I've
to college.
Learned in college?
What's the big lesson? Know. What's the big lesson in college?
What have I learned in college?
Something, I hope.
Yeah. I don't know. Golly gee. I feel like, I mean, this is a thing I've tried to improve on majority of my life, but I guess just, like, you know, asking for help and stuff. Because a lot of times education is like, you should be smart and figure these things out on your own. And that's something that should just like come to you or work hard at. But it's like the smartest people like ask for help and they have a community around them to support them. So I guess it's like college and also just like what I've been learning like since high school, I guess. That's been the biggest thing for me. I don't know what your lesson is about me being in college.
Well, no. My lesson for me being in college.
Or you being in college. Okay.
What is
your lesson from college?
Yeah, my lesson from college. Okay. I think that's what they're asking, I believe.
Sure. What's your lesson from college?
One of the things that's interesting, when I went into college, I think I really had this attitude of, well, I just have to find something to do that I don't mind doing. And I think what college made me realize is, no. I aim higher than that. Let's find something I really have passion for. And now, interestingly, the thing that I studied in college and I decided to dedicate my life to, which was writing for television, okay, that didn't end up being my life's passion. But it got me down the path of follow your passion. And one passion led to a different passion. So obviously, I ended out a different path. But the idea of doing something you really love, I thought was college really imbued in me.
I just love the people who ask you, like, why didn't you learn game design when you were in college? And you're like, I was born before game design was put into college courses. I am taught in introductory classes for game design. Flexin'. All right, next question. Where's the stuff? From James Dean at @dat_communist.
Okay, James Dean.
I love that. Okay, for you, Mark. If you were given the chance, are there any sets you would go back and redesign in any way that you like? You wish something had turned out a little different?
I mean, there's no set that I couldn't go back and improve upon it. Like, one of the things that's interesting is one of the reasons for deadlines is so you finish something. Because you can always make something better, and it's very easy to not lay things down. I kind of like once I let something go to let it go and let it be what it's going to be. For example, probably the set I regret the most, is Battle for Zendikar, because I knew better. Like, there's some early stuff I did where I improved since then, but that was a set where I really fell down at a time when I shouldn't fall down as much as I did. It's the set that I definitely look back and I'm like, that is not my best work. So if I had a set to do over again, I guess it would be that one. But anyway, I've talked at length. Go listen to my podcast on lessons learned from Battle for Zendikar. And I'm very harsh with myself. So you can go listen and hear me talk about how I thought I messed it up. Okay, next question.
Okay, this is going to be a theme for the next, like, 3 questions, I think.
Ooh, some theme questions. Okay.
3 questions. This is an overall arching theme, I think, for 3 questions.
Okay.
Which is musicals.
Okay, musicals.
Rachel and I... I'm going to ask, like, 3 questions, like, back to back. Okay.
Well, let me explain real quickly that Rachel and I both love musicals, so...
In case you're not aware.
If you didn't know. Well, I did 2... you and I went to Broadway Con for 2 different years, and I did a podcast on each of them, so you can go listen to those. But anyway, that's how people know we like musicals, because we went to Broadway Con, so...
Yeah, so these next questions are about musicals.
Okay.
Musical time. Do we share musical tastes?
We overlap some, but I like some older musicals and you tend to like some of the newer musicals, so.
What's your thing? I always say, like, Golden Age, but I feel like that's not the category. What's, like, the category of musicals? Not, like, Golden Age.
No. Like, my favorite musical is Little Shop of Horrors.
I know that.
Which is, I mean, that's from the 80s, right? That's not.
I guess, yeah.
Like, the Golden Age, like, the 40s and 50s, but, you know, that goes back a little bit.
Mine's definitely a little more modern. Like, anything that's, like, especially 2010 and, like,
so what's your favorite musical right now?
Right now, I feel like I can never ask that. That's like...
Oh, well, I mean today. What's your favorite music today?
Today, I don't know. I mean, it depends on the mood, you know? Because if it's like funny, it's like you go for Book of Mormon or something rotten.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm feeling sad, you go for something like Spring Awakening. You want to get all emotional. Spring Awakening hits differently now in this time.
Yeah.
Because especially it's like children who are progressive are angry with adults who are conservative. But I'm like, like someone should revive this. I feel like we do share some musical taste.
I mean, you know, definitely. Like, and when we went to look for colleges, we were driving around LA looking at colleges and stuff.
Yeah.
We were sharing music back and forth. And so, and that's when we realized that my favorite musical and one of your favorite musicals have the same plot. So,
Oh, yeah. Little Shop of Horrors and Be More Chill is just... Be More Chill is just Little Shop of Horrors if Little Shop of Horrors is with technology instead of, like, supernatural stuff.
Yeah.
It's the difference between The Twilight Zone and Black Mirror. Like, they're essentially the same tale, but one just got more technology to it. That's how I can best describe it. Okay.
So Be More Chill is also a very cool movie. I did
and
like Be More Chill.
That question was from Coco Il Aspicat. So thank you for that.
Okay.
Next one from the Triple Oracle. Which musical can you each sing most, like, from memory?
A Little Shop of Horrors for me, just because it's my favorite musical.
See, here's the thing. I don't know all of falsettos,
yeah.
But if you started playing it, I could probably get through most of the first act. I don't know the second act's where it gets sad, and I haven't put my energy into the second act, because that's where things just go downhill for me. I know, like, the beginning of the second act, like, before things start happening, it's very sad. But I feel like I know most of the first act.
Yeah, I mean, like, one of the things that's different between you and I is... For example, when we were we went to see Beetlejuice when we were in New York, and I listened to that soundtrack like 50 times.
Well, like, you listen to the soundtrack before you go to the musical, and
right.
I like getting things like stuck in my ear, and it's like the song is good if I can't get it out of my head. Is like the way.
Right,
that
but
I
you won't listen to stuff till you go see it.
Yeah.
Like, you want to experience it the first time in the thing, and I'm like, no, I want to know the songs. So I listen. So when I'm there, I'm like, oh, I know the songs, and now I can enjoy everything else about it because I know the songs.
Yeah,
and
I liked everything in it at once. And if I go back, I mean, you know, there's bootlegs and stuff. I'll figure out a way to suffice. But I don't know. I feel like I definitely know like certain songs. Like, entire musicals, I don't really know. But, like, definitely, like, certain songs, I feel like I could just, like, whip them out. And that's from memory.
Okay, next.
Very intense. Okay, and then the last, like, of the musical section, I think.
Okay.
It says cast Mark in a Broadway musical. This is from David Wright, by the
way. Okay.
But also, I feel like for each other, if we could cast each other in a Broadway musical.
In a Broadway musical.
Let's imagine we're both good at singing.
Okay. Okay, what? Yes, neither of us can sing.
Let's imagine.
Well, you sing better than I sing. Yeah. I'm horrible.
I'm mediocre. You're tone deaf, and I'm like, I can't riff or anything. I'm not like Ben Platt, but I'm like, I could be okay.
Yeah.
But you're tone deaf.
But can you cry on demand?
Side note, we've been watching The Politician, and Ben Kratt literally cries in every episode. And Every other scene. Like, Ben Platt's doing the most on The Politician. Any Ryan Murphy show is so chaotic. Okay, but cast each other in a Broadway show.
Okay. That's a hard one.
I don't know. What vibe do you give off in terms of Broadway musical? I don't know.
What do I give off?
What's a good, like, fatherly figure? Why is my mind going to, like, Dear Evan Hansen? Like, the father in Dear Evan Hansen? Just because he's very much about...
Oh, I also was thinking of going to Dear Evan Hansen to you.
We were talking about Ben Platt, and we were just all of a sudden thinking about subtle emotional musicals. I don't know.
Because,
I would go to its predecessor, which is, like, Next to Normal, which very much has Dear Evan Hansen vibes. But the father in Next to Normal is, like, concerned about his wife a bunch, and he's a little bit chaotic. So, I don't know. You have the caring elements, but I mean, my mind definitely went to like Dear Evan Hansen because obviously, like, Evan Hansen's father's out of the picture, but the father for the other family, Larry Murphy, like, he definitely like cares a lot about like his son and stuff, and he definitely has like, I feel like you're definitely a lot more emotional than father musical is. Like,
another
he's
one
more muted his emotion,
so
and you're more emotional.
Another one I would think of is a musical that you might not know that well. You're very political, and so
and you're not.
Oh, I am, but I mean, anyway, you know the musical Hair?
Yeah.
And Hair's a lot of like political songs and a lot, it's a lot of,
I mean, definitely, it's like 60s, 70s.
I mean, it's politics of the 60s,
but
there's a lot, it's interesting that it's a musical that hits a lot of like different, a lot of different themes about different ideas.
I've never seen this musical, so which character?
I don't know.
Any?
Well, I mean, the characters have names, but I don't, like, it's not like their names are mentioned other than the main characters mentioned in a song.
None of their names are mentioned? Like, in songs?
Other than the main guy, one of the two main guys, his name is mentioned, and because he's in a song. But I don't even know any of, like, the women's names are in the songs.
Side note, I know nothing about Hair.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Hair. I think they maybe get semi or fully naked on stage, and I feel like that's all I know about Hair.
That is not why I'm putting it in
Hair. No, but I feel like that's all I know about Hair. If you said, tell me the plot of Hair, like, I don't know. I could make up a plot.
Well, The movie ended up making more of a plot than the Broadway musical. The Broadway musical is very loose in its plot. It's more about a lot of issues than it's about a plot.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's good music. Okay. Yeah. I should have you listen to it. It's good music.
All right. From Bill.
From Bill. Okay, what does Bill want to know?
Bill wants to know how COVID's affected R&D and how they operate, like, day to day.
Okay, well, I think last week as I recorded this, I recorded a whole podcast on how making magic has changed in the COVID times. So the deep answer, you can go listen to that. The real brief answer is mostly I'm at home. Like, I mean, I'm interacting with all my coworkers, but through a screen. So, I mean, we're making magic and we're doing it. It's just, I'm here and I'm here every day. And I feel like maybe once a week I leave the house. So I'm
for your daily walk around the block.
Well, my wife, Laura, and I, we walk every day during lunch. So I do physically leave the house once a day to go on a walk. But I mean, actually, like, go somewhere. Like, we do takeout once a week just to
and
support.
Our groceries.
Yeah, we do takeout once a week. We go shopping once a week.
We got our events. Okay. From Alicorin, says, hi, Rachel. If you had to take over for your dad for a week, do you think you could do it, given you had some prep time? And in what ways do you think you'd be better or worse than him? Well, I feel like I have a decent amount of writing skill. How much writing would you say you do, like, in a week? Like,
I do
an average week?
I write a column every week. I answer questions on my blog every week. And there's some of our writing I do for my work, like internal writing, like philosophy documents or handoff documents and stuff like that. But writing is actually a smaller portion of what I do. Like I do a lot more card design and, you know, set creation and, in fact, I don't think you know 9% of what I do.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Here's the thing about being someone in college thinking about post-grad life is just cause I feel like I'm decent at school. Like being in a classroom and being a student, and I'm worried about how a job is going to go just because I'm like, oh, what are my skills? What do I provide to the world? Like, your productivity is not your worth, but also, like, am I capable of anything? Like, is the question, I'm like, I'm good at writing, creativity. Like, I'm looking into advertising. I think that'd be an interesting way to, like, combine elements, but I don't know.
You have many skills.
Do I know I have those skills?
Well, I don't know if you know. But
yeah, but I don't know. Given some prep time.
This is a normal in college thing, so don't.
Given some prep time. Depends on how much prep time. I feel like I definitely could.
There are parts of my job that, yes, I think you could do. There are other parts you would be lost.
Yep.
Like, for example, designing magic, you don't know magic very well, so you might have some problems there.
I just run the podcast and that's it.
Right, you do the podcast.
No more writing.
Replies with Rachel, 89.
There is no more writing. Okay. It is only podcast now.
Okay.
Always I think I can do better or worse. Yeah, I feel like, the things that we share, like common traits like writing and creativity are basic. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just, like, magic knowledge, that would not fare well. Okay. Next question is from Kyberos. I feel really bad about
this. I think you always put a question mark at the end of every name. This? Is it this? Okay.
Why
we're doing the best we can.
Like,
we're doing the best we can. We apologize if we mingle your name.
Okay.
Okay, what's the next question?
Hi, Mark and Rachel. Love the podcast. The question is for you. It says, okay. If Rachel were a Magic the Gathering set/block, which would she be?
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Okay. Well, we put a lot of different sets, right?
Yeah.
And each set has its own flavor.
Okay.
So the set,
what's my flavor?
So my flavor is, so we made a set called Kaladesh. And then Kaladesh was a world of inventors.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a world of creativity and invention. And so that's what I would pick for you.
What were, like, the
and they had a little bit of rebellion there. So, you know, you have a little bit of rebellious streak. So,
uh-huh.
Or not that rebellious, but.
I voice my opinion a lot. I feel like there is many words. I could write a very nice, strongly worded letter. Like,
yes.
Could I burn down a building? No. Could I make a good speech?
Yes. You are a very good speech
giver. That's my point in the revolution.
You're the speech giver. Okay.
I'm the speechwriter for the revolution.
Okay. Well, somebody's got to do that.
Someone's got to do it.
Okay, what's the next question?
Okay, next question's from Damon. Are there any plans for more shark type creatures in the future? I'm hoping to make a tribal deck of my favorite animal, shark type creature. Do you have sharks?
We have sharks. Yes, of course we do. We have sharks. In fact, we just made a card in a set a little while ago that was a shark tornado.
Oh my gosh. We literally had a debate about Sharknado like 2 weeks ago. Oh my goodness.
What was the debate?
Yeah, no, because you remember we're playing Cineplexity where it's like, Cineplexity is a game where you have two cards and the cards are either like character types or scenes or themes, and you have to name a movie with both those things combining.
That overlap.
Yeah. Okay. And I forget, but I think one of them was like, it said like sharks or dolphins, and the other card was like hurricane, snowcast, or like something else, and I shouted Sharknado, and we were debating whether Sharknado was a tornado or a hurricane.
No, they said hurricanes, and you said, well, it's a hurricane. It's not a hurricane, it's Sharknado, no, it's a tornado.
And I said, it's water-based, it's not dust-based, and then we were arguing.
I'm like, it's in the name, it's literally in the name.
I said they're not gonna call it Shark Hurricane, because that's not as catchy as Sharknado.
I got it, but that makes it a tornado. That makes it a tornado.
Oh my gosh, it's a snazzier name, but it's water-based, and they're near the sea.
Well, guess what?
If they were in
Marketing
Kansas,
made them make it a tornado, so it's a tornado.
They're not in Kansas. It's not like a tornado-based dust thing that sharks appear out of. It's from the water.
Anyway, when you ask the shark question, okay, let me answer. I didn't even answer the shark question. So, we just made the shark a creature type in Ikoria. Yeah. Will there be more sharks? I can't promise specifically any specific sharks, but yes, I do believe there'll be more sharks. Why would we make it into a creature type if we'd never use it again? Although we have made creature types we've never used again. But I do believe there'll be. I'm optimistic about sharks.
Let's hope so. Okay. Fonzie Lemon says, for Wizards R&D, what college degree would increase my chances of getting hired? I feel like that's always my worry about, like, college degrees. I'm like, which one?
Well, and here, I'll give you my answer, which hopefully will give you a little...
Clearly, as someone who got this degree.
There is no specific degree you need to work in R&D. There's no... What we want is someone who's going to have a cool set of skills that will add to the overall group and help make magic. So what you need is... a love of magic and some knowledge of magic and a good set of skills that would be valuable to us that if we added you to our group, you would be additive and help make magic better. But we don't, it's not like, oh, you need to major in this one thing or else we're not going to consider you. R&D is filled with, like, I think Bill Rose, who's our VP, like ran a chemistry lab before he worked at Wizards. So
I was like seeing where people like come from in terms of things. I feel like it's very interesting to see, like, some people have very much like a set path of things. Some people just really change things up. Like, it's always weird to hear about, like, you know, like celebrities or other famous people, like, you know, things they were doing. Like, I heard once that, like, Kelly Clarkson was, like, gonna be a marine biologist, and then she saw Jaws and she was like, I want to be a singer instead. Like, I don't know if that's true.
So,
but that's
Steven Spielberg pushed her in a new direction.
That's, yeah, I don't know if that's true because it's from like a BuzzFeed article, but like, I hope it is. Okay.
So,
next question. TJ Boriski says, what is your family's favorite out of the house activity and how have you adjusted due to COVID?
What is out of house activities? I don't understand.
Yeah. The outside world? Society?
Okay, yeah. So, back.
Who is she?
Back when we used to leave the house. What was our favorite activity? My family loves going to movies. We do a lot of movies.
Are they asking, like, in general, your favorite out of the house activity or just, like, in these times?
No, I think they meant normally. Like, right now...
What do I miss the most?
Well, yeah, but what does our family do that you miss that, like, we did...
I mean, definitely, like, movie theaters. Like, slap. I don't know. Really just human contact, I feel like. Man, there's people I just want to hug, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, I don't think I can. Like, there's just things that you just don't understand, and like, oh my goodness. I don't know. Favorite out-of-the-house activity.
I mean, one of the things we've been doing while we've been in the COVID is we try to go out once a week, usually on Sundays, and we'll go to the park. And we'll walk around or play bocce or just do something. We'll get food.
I'm going back to school and I like being in classrooms and just having a nice open, like, dialogue and stuff. A lot of them are just like, we're going to sit you around in a circle and we're just going to talk about a topic for like an hour. And I always like those. I feel like that's a lot of fun to just go around with. And how have we adjusted due to COVID? The best we can, you know? The best anyone can.
Yeah, we have our theme nights and our movie nights, and we have takeout night, and we definitely try to shake it up a little bit without leaving the house all that often. But
one day I'm gonna leave the house in a mask and realize I don't need it. It's like when the new year happens and you keep writing the old year, but you're like, oh, whoops, it's a new year. Like, I feel like I'm going to do that with a mask. I'm going to just keep wearing a mask, and I'm like, oh.
Like in 2023, you're like, oh, I can take this off. So
yeah, that's how I'm going to feel.
Okay, so Rachel, we have time for just one or two more questions.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm almost to work.
You're almost
I can see the desk. I can see the desk in front of me.
You're almost metaphorically good at work. Okay. I guess we got two questions left.
Okay, right. Two questions.
From Jayski, it says, a sliver planeswalker win. Do they mean silver or do they mean sliver?
They mean sliver.
Sliver. What's a sliver planeswalker?
Okay, sliver, many years ago, in fact, the very first set that I made that I was the lead designer for was called Tempest. And in it, we introduced these creatures called the slivers, which are these hive mind creatures. So they can change their shape, and if they're near enough to each other, they can share their mind. And the idea is, if one of them knows how to like grow a wing, then if you're near it, they know how to grow a wing because they can change their shape. And the idea is, oh well, if I'm near the one that knows how to grow a wing, I can grow a wing, and then I can fly because I have wings. And we've made the slivers over the years. They're very popular. The people who love slivers. They're very popular. And we've made them. I think we've had five or six different sets, maybe five sets, that had slivers. So what they're asking for is we make what are called planeswalkers. So the main character of our story are characters that walk between the worlds because that's what they do.
Yeah.
And they want one of these planeswalkers to be a sliver because it would be novel and different to be a sliver. The biggest problem, and I've mentioned this on my blog numerous times, is what identifies a sliver, what makes a sliver a cool thing, is it's part of a hive mind. So the idea of taking something that's part of a group and making it leave the group and then be all by itself really isn't playing into what makes it, like, now the sliver's on another world, which it doesn't have the hive mind, and it's afraid and scared because it's missing its hive mind. The other big thing is, while we do different creature types as planeswalkers, I mean, we do a lot of humans, obviously, but we have...
Make a shark planeswalker.
A shark planeswalker. I'm not saying we'll never make a sliver planeswalker, but it is a little bit novelty for the sake of novelty versus making something that truly would be interesting. Because the thing is, slivers mechanically, a sliver planeswalker, like, slivers have to interact with other slivers. That's what makes them mechanically interesting. The idea is, if this sliver grants flying and this sliver grants trample and they're near each other, then they both have flying and trample is the idea. But a sliver planeswalker who's away from all its other slivers, I don't even know what it does. So anyway, it's a weird thing to do.
I found one other question, which we're going to do lightning round.
Okay, lightning round.
James Kent Doble says, when will you make a five-color legendary horse? I feel like you could slap any words together and I'll be like, yeah, that's a question.
Magic is five colors.
I don't understand anything.
Magic is five colors. A horse is a creature type. And we've yet to make a horse that is a five-color card. We don't make a lot of five-color cards.
Like, it's a horse that fits, like, all the colors.
Well, I mean, so a card can be either zero colors, one, two, three, four, or five colors.
Zero colors.
It can be colorless, meaning not any color. So you can have no colors.
Color
so, so anyway, the horses are normally in white because they're domesticated. Every once in a while, they'll be in red. There's been one in black. There's been one in green. I think we did an illusionary horse in blue once.
That's cool.
But we've yet to make one that's all five colors. Will we ever do that? Maybe.
All five colors.
Did they ask for a legendary horse or just a horse?
Yeah, legendary horse. All five colors is divergent.
Yeah, so they...
the horse is divergent. If you've never seen the movie, this joke will not make sense
to you. Well, the funny thing is, divergent is about five... Like, magic has these five different sort of things, and divergent has five. They don't line up quite, but they're...
Yeah.
They're more similar than you think. Like...
Mm-hmm. Well, why does actually, I don't really know. Because, red is Dauntless, and blue is Erudite, and, that makes sense.
Right, red
But the other ones are, black and white...
Yeah, I think one of them is all about community. That's green, white. One of them is all about
Amenity is like the kind ones. Are they?
Yeah, that's
green
white. That's more mono white.
And then there's Candor.
Well, truth.
They're
about
honesty.
Truth. It's my mind's kind of white black. Like they sort of represent the good side of honesty and kind of the dark side of honesty.
And then abnegation, which is like the kind.
That's
like,
white. That's self. White.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay. Last question from Dan Fenton. Rachel, have you been enjoying Chicago so far? And also, excellent choice in school. They're my alma mater. Woo, go Renegades. I don't think no one knows the mascot of the school, but it is the Renegades. We have no sports and
Are you enjoying school?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting to go back, and because I'll be like in a physical dorm, but in like virtual classes. So that'll be kind of weird, but I've been enjoying Chicago a lot so far. I mean, I feel like the way I spend money is going to change because I spend a lot of money on theater shows. And so I'm going to save money on that, but then I'm also going to deliver more things. So I'm going to spend more money. So it all bounces out anyway. You know, what else do I even do in Chicago? I feel like anytime I leave.
Eat pizza. Eat lots and lots of pizza.
It's expensive and I can't eat all by myself. I do my best.
I know. Every time we visit, we got to go to Gino's East and have some pizza. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like anytime I leave my dorm, it's pretty much only for like theater. Like it's theater at my school or it's theater somewhere else. I mean, sometimes I go to like movies or whatever, but I feel like I don't leave much otherwise, and even like the clubs I go to are majorly theater clubs, but overall I've been enjoying it so far and it's very exciting.
So anyway,
interesting to go back, so we'll see.
Okay, so guys, I see my desk, I'm here. So we got to wrap up here, so I want to thank you, Rachel. It's been fun. I missed doing these with you, so these were, it's been, I went back and looked and like I think the last one we did was in like in the 500s and this is like in the 700s, so it's been a while. I mean, you've been off to school, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was fun doing this with you again. And so, guys, thanks for joining in, and thanks for sending in all the questions. But I'm now at my desk, so we all know what that means.
You say this at the end of every podcast now?
I do.
I'm at my desk now.
I'm at my desk now. So
I'm leaving my desk.
You got to let me do my finish.
Back I
gotta
to my desk.
Let me do my finish.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So I'm at my desk. You all know what that means. We all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. Although, ironically,
it's 6 p.m.
We recorded this at the end of the day.
To be done with work for the day.
Yes.
Our last thing.
The pandemic has messed up my podcast. But anyway, we're still doing it. So thank you.
The myth's been ruined.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, Rachel. But anyway, guys, we got to go. So I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.